Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Everyone doing well? All right. We're going to change gears. Scott spent a bit of time talking about Azure. I'm actually going to spend a bit of time talking about Windows 10 and Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. Unfortunately, can't keep those two interactive in a setting like this, but I'll at least try to make security interesting, maybe a little entertaining, too. My entire presentation will be in English because I speak absolutely no German, so my apologies. I tried to learn a word or two, and friends of mine who are German kept correcting my pronunciation. They said, you know what, just don't. Just stick with English. So I'll stick with English today. So Windows is an interesting OS for us because every time we release a version of Windows, we work on making that version more secure. Windows 10 is the most secure version of the operating system that we've ever released, and there's a few reasons for that. Number one, we've built on a posture of having both pre-defense and post-breach type software and features within the software. There's a few things on this slide that are important from a pre-breach standpoint that I want to call out. There's a lot of functionality here, but there are some things that are really important. The first thing I want you to think about is from a pure security standpoint, breaches tend to happen in the same places that they happened 5 or 10 years ago. There isn't much, you know, there's a million new variants of malware written a day. Your users are still your weakest point. However, breaches tend to happen because customers don't do some of the basics. They don't patch, they don't update their OS or applications, they don't use multi-factor authentication, not using data classification and encrypting properly. And the final thing is we're not actually managing privileged access workstations and user privilege, which allows folks when they get inside your environment, they can move around much more quickly. So we've built some of this automatic functionality into Windows 10 to try to at least alleviate some of the burden on administrators, and more importantly, to alleviate the burden on your end users. We don't want the end users to actually have to do much work. We don't want them to actually have to make a lot of decisions to keep themselves secure, because what we've always found is your end users are your weakest point. So if you think just about the basics, things like device health, you want to make sure that the device, before it enters your network, before it accesses your corporate assets, you want the device to be healthy. You want it to be patched. You want it to be updated, running the latest versions. You want to make sure that you strongly authenticate the users via some type of two-factor authentication. You also want to take advantage of encryption. You want to make sure your sensitive data and your sensitive assets are properly classified and properly encrypted. And finally, we've added on things like Windows Defender and Windows Defender Application Guard for our Edge browser. Those will actually allow you to create a container session. So if malware does enter, it immediately goes away when the container is closed and it's not allowed to spread in your environment. And all of this can be enabled without user interaction at all. You can set all of these rights and privileges up so your users, when the machine is deployed to them, they don't have to make any decisions to keep themselves more secure. Now, any cybersecurity presentation you see has to include some type of statistic slide. We all have them. The first thing is, we know that our customers today are assuming breach. When I started in cybersecurity many more years ago than I'd like to think about, our customers were much more concerned about perimeter defense, keeping the bad guys out, right? Today, they assume that the bad guys are in their environment. So how do you detect and how do you respond really quickly? We're going to talk about that a little bit in this presentation. The one stat that I really want to call your attention to on this slide, though, is the 200 days. On average, it takes a company 200 days to detect that somebody is in the environment. Now, imagine that you had a vacation home that you didn't visit for 200 days, but yet somebody lived there in your absence, unbeknownst to you. Think about the damage they could do in your home. Now, think about that same person on your internal network at work, undetected, you don't know they're there. Think about the damage they can do. We're trying to reduce that time to detection through some of the capabilities that we've built into Windows 10 and those capabilities that we've integrated from Windows 10 across Office 365 and through ATA, which I'll show at the end of the presentation. So let's talk a little bit about how breaches occur. Everyone is very concerned about malware. However, if you notice on the slide, 46% of breaches occur without any malware. It's because your users do things that they're not supposed to do. And they don't tend to do it maliciously, by the way. Yes, there are malicious internal users, but it tends to be the careless users, the casual users, the uneducated users that do things that they don't know they're not supposed to do. And those are the controls you need to build in, and those are the controls we have built into Windows 10 to keep those users from doing those things. The other thing that you'll note on the slide is over 99% of known vulnerabilities have been known for over a year, yet they're exploited. I talked about this when I began the presentation. People don't patch. It's a bad habit. I talked to a very large Fortune customer in Asia a few weeks ago who told me they hadn't patched in 3 years. Can you imagine not patching anything but supercritical vulnerabilities for 3 years? How many of you involved in patching in your environment? You know it's difficult, right? You get a lot of patches. Microsoft produces a lot of patches, and then all of your other vendors. So how do you prioritize? How do you know what to patch, right? We're trying to automate those things to make it a lot easier for you, but we're also just trying to reduce the need for patching, because we know that from a programmatic standpoint, customers simply don't patch their environments, and that leaves you more vulnerable for attack. But let's actually talk about how that attack occurs. Your user, your most vulnerable person, right? There was an attack that occurred in the US, fairly well known internationally. One of our large campaign managers, right, was attacked. It was a really simple attack from an attack execution standpoint. He clicked on a phishing email, right? It rendered a page where he entered his credentials. It was the wrong page, right? It was actually an attack site. His credentials were harvested, and then they were used to exploit his email account. That's a pretty simple attack, but the impact of that attack was very large. So a simple attack, the impact was large. And that's what happens in your environments. Your users click on a malicious link, they respond to an email, they're on the browser, they download payload, they don't even know typically. And we'll show that in the next slide. Then the attack is on their device. Maybe it uses PowerShell to execute. Maybe it uses something else to execute, but it is now resident on the user's device. It can harvest their credentials. It can harvest any other credentials that may be on that device. If your user has admin privileges, access to that device just gave the attacker a lot more rights and privileges across your network, which is exactly what they use. They then use things like pass the hash. They use pass the hash to pass your ticket around the environment so they can get continued escalating rights and privileges as they move through the environment. They move into Active Directory. They move into your server farm. They get everything they need, and ultimately, they exfiltrate information. And that's the end game, right? They want credentials. They want IP. You have business disruption. Maybe you've lost money. You have brand issues. It happens to companies on a global basis continuously. And it's a very simple thing to prevent. But this first part of preventing that is having your users working on a device that is less apt to be corrupted. So this attack, Strontium, is a very well-known attack. It was actually a nation-state type attack, and it was executed the exact same way we talked about, right? The attack was a phishing email. They harvested credentials through an exploit, used pass the hash to go across the environment, and ultimately stole some data that they wanted. Here is the actual email rendering that was one of the emails that was rendered. It looks like a legitimate email, right, with a legitimate link. It's not. The user clicks on the link, right, takes them to an exploit page. By the way, the user has absolutely no idea that they're going to an exploit page. The exploit runs, and the user is then redirected to the page they expected to see. All of this happens in less than a second. So as an end user, you're clicking the link, maybe the wheel's spinning a little bit, it's taking, you know, a couple extra milliseconds than you expected, but ultimately you get to the page that you expected to get to, so you don't think anything bad has happened in your environment. This is the type of attack that Windows Defender Application Guard and Edge would prevent. We would put this attack in a container, we would detonate it, We would see what the attack did, and then when web session closed, the attack, all the malware, everything associated with it would go away. It wouldn't have ever been allowed to get out into your environment. So that's why Microsoft has what we call our new security posture. Is anyone in the room a security professional? Grew up in security? No. Either that or you're shy. You don't want to admit it. I know, security people, we're all a little strange. I get that. So I'm one of them. I can say that. We have this posture that we call protect, detect, and respond. Right? We want to protect your users from having something bad happen to them. But if something bad happens inside your environment, we want to reduce that time to detection from 200 days. And then we want to give you the tools to appropriately respond, because you can respond to an attack in a lot of different ways. But at the end of the day, you could be just chasing, you know, ghosts, right? Instead of responding to the right attack and stopping it from harming your environment. So as you hear Microsoft talk about security throughout whatever presentation you're attending the next few days, you'll hear us talk about protect, detect, and respond. And some people put remediation separately. We just use remediation, remediating against attack, in the same bucket as respond, just to keep it simple. Okay, so going back then to Windows 10, what have we done that's really unique in the past 24 months? We've added post-breach detection, or Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, I tell the product team who developed it, is my favorite product at Microsoft. And it's my favorite product at Microsoft because it does a couple things really well. It detects very quickly if something has happened in your environment, number one. It's fully built in and integrated into the Windows platform, so you don't have to add on anything, you don't have to write any API calls, you don't have to do any special integration for it. It also is fully integrated with our Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection and our Advanced Threat Analytics. So when you think about a kill chain in the environment, that's what the bad guys are trying to do. We can stop the kill chain at any point by using Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection and the integration with the other Microsoft solutions. Security being built in, not bolted on. Why is this important to you? On average, our customers tell us that they manage about 75 to 100 unique security vendors in their infrastructure. Those aren't vendors that are actually adding to your business, helping you grow your business, running a unique application. They're just securing your business. If you think just purely about vendor management cost, operational expense, it's fairly obvious why we want to build in security to the environment, right? But it's more important if you think about reducing your attack surface. Every time you do a unique integration, you increase the attack surface for the bad guys. And then when Microsoft upgrades or the third-party vendor upgrades and we're out of sync, again, you've opened up a vulnerability. We firmly believe that building in security capability end-to-end across the platform is the most appropriate way to keep our customers secure across your infrastructure. Everywhere from Windows, Windows Server, SharePoint, Azure, Office 365, etc. We want to keep you secure by building in security capability that, again, doesn't require your users to do anything, doesn't require you to do any third-party integrations, and is very transparent to you. Okay, so Windows Defender ATP, let's switch and just talk about that specifically. We talked about the fact that it's built in. I want to talk a little bit about behavior. So, you know, it's almost become a cliche in the security industry to talk about behavioral-based analytics, but it's actually really important. A couple slides from now, I'm going to talk about Microsoft Security Graph and how we do behavior a little differently than others. But for right now, I want to explain why behavioral-based analytics are so important. I was at a customer a couple of weeks ago who told me that 80% of the devices on their network are bring-your-own devices. They're not company-issued devices. They also told me, because of the type of business that they run, they have contractors that work for them for extended periods of time who, again, have their own devices that may not even be known to the entity. So these are devices they've never seen before, right? They're not registered to the corporate entity. So how could the entity possibly know if that device is doing something they shouldn't be doing or the user is? That's where behavioral-based analytics come in. We can look at a category of devices, we can look at applications, we can look at a category of users, and we can look at data, because those are all the elements we look at, right? And we also look at location. And we can determine, even if you've never seen the device before, we can determine if it's acting in an abnormal way, if there's anomalies, if there's indicators of a compromise or indicators of attack coming from that device. That's what we use the behavior for. Then we take all those behavioral-based analytics and we feed them back into our products real-time to make the products more aware and more intelligent. We'll talk more about that with the intelligent security graph. The other thing is, and that's what I'm going to talk about in depth, is that unique threat intelligence. That's the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph, and there's some real uniqueness to it. The most unique part of the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph is the analytics that we receive, the robust signal, both the volume of signal and the diversity of signal that we receive. We run over, 200 cloud consumer and business applications. We get data from that on a regular basis. In addition, we see 1 billion Windows devices updated. We get analytics and data from those updates. 300 billion monthly authentications. It's a lot of authentications, right? We get a lot of data, things like known bad IP addresses, known bad MAC addresses, known bad URLs. There's a lot of data that comes in just from those authentications. In addition, we analyze emails, and some of the assets that people don't think about, 18 billion Bing web pages searched. We also have this asset called Xbox. A lot of bad stuff happens in the consumer environment. We have our digital crimes unit that does global work with global law enforcement for anti-piracy. It's almost a one-to-one ratio. For every pirated piece of software, there's a piece of malware. We take all of this data in and we form what's called the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph. And what do we do with that Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph, that diversity and that volume of signal? We make our products better. We take all of that information. If we see a known bad IP address, a known bad URL, a new variant of malware, anything that we pick up from all that signaling, we feed it into products like Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, so that Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection becomes more intelligent, and we can do that in near real time. So we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait to stop the attacks. You'll see more as we talk about the Microsoft Intelligent Security Graph throughout the next couple of days, how it's feeding all of our products. But the main things I want you to remember are both the volume of signal and the diversity of signal are really unique to Microsoft. And the other thing that we use to supplement this is we have 24/7 hunting teams. They go into our environments and they're hunting around the clock looking. We run the Microsoft platform, right, for our internal employees in the same data centers that we run our customers' environments. Those hunt teams are looking for anomalies. They're looking for indicators of compromise. They're looking for indicators of attack on a 24/7 basis. So what is actually an indicator of compromise? It's a great question, right? What do we know? I'm just gonna build this slide in its entirety. There's a lot of different things that we could see as an indicator of compromise, right? We can see things like IP addresses, URLs that we talked about. There's some examples specifically to the Strontium attack, things like DLLs, things that they did on re-engineering. Those are the type of things that we pump into our software to say these should not be allowed to pass through your environment from the device from Windows 10. We also pass through indicators of attack. I talked a little bit about behavioral analytics. One of the best ways for me to show you behavioral analytics is to tell you that indicators of attack are something typically that we've never seen before, right? We're using that behavioral analytics to understand that the behavior of the device, the behavior of the person, even the behavior of the application is not what it should be. I'll give you the most basic example. I'm in Germany today, right now. Say I log into my system here on the Microsoft network, and 5 minutes later, someone tries to log into that same system as me, and they're in Russia. We're smart enough to know from a land speed standpoint that I didn't log in 5 minutes later in Russia. That's just one of those great indicators of attack that behavioral analytics will tell us about that we haven't ever necessarily seen before on my machine. Okay, so we are fully integrated with Windows Defender. Okay, everything we do from a behavioral analytics, from a Microsoft Intelligence Security Graph, from a Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection in a Windows 10 environment is fully integrated with our Windows Defender that has been on the system long before Windows 10. We do that to protect your investment, right? We want to make sure as you upgrade, you know that your legacy investment is protected. And what are the types of things we've seen? This is a great example. I talked a little bit about the kill chain. This slide is a great example. It talks to you about when the compromise happened, how persistent, right, the compromise was. If someone wants to attack your environment, they don't try just once. They keep knocking on the door until they get in. They keep trying different attack vectors, different users, different spear phishing attacks, right, to different users. They keep trying to get into the environment. They're very persistent. They do reconnaissance. Let's say, for example, that they believe that if they get into Scott Guthrie's credentials, they can have access to our entire Azure environment. They believe that because they've done some reconnaissance, right? So they're going to persistently attack Scott until they find a weakness or a vulnerability or a potential place that they can actually grab his credentials. They're going to use those credentials then to move laterally across your environment and also to escalate their privileges in the environment. These are all things that Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection will see, and Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection will stop. Why will it stop it? Because we have breach detection. We know when you've been breached. We can quarantine. We take the malware, we say, oh, this is a piece of malware. We're going to take it, we're gonna put it in a sandbox, we're gonna detonate it, we're going to see what this malware would do if it were in with your environment, and we're going to use that to launch the investigation. Because let's say I'm running Windows 10, but my colleague, Milad, who's actually going to do my demos, is running Windows 7. And let's say that piece of malware passed his machine because he was running Windows 7, but Windows 10 caught it. Windows 10 is going to give that message across the environment that this malware is potentially in the environment, and even though it passed his machine, it's not going to be able to do any damage because it's going to be stopped at things like the Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection. It's going to be stopped before it gets to Azure. Windows Server is going to be able to stop it. And that's what we mean when we talk about the ability to have breach detection and to be fully integrated across the environment. So let's talk a little bit about that roadmap. By the way, we spend about $1 billion a year on security. People, processes, and technology. That's how serious we are about it. Microsoft has committed, Saadia has committed and recommitted that we're gonna spend $1 billion a year on securing our infrastructure, securing our platform, and making sure you can confidently deploy our solutions without having to worry about security. That means that one of the most important things we need to do is make sure the integrations are all seamless, they're transparent, and they work without any effort on the part of our users. So I talked a little bit about that integration. Let's go back to my example. I'm running Windows 10, Milad's running Windows 7, something gets past his environment. Windows 10 Advanced Threat Protection has already sent a signal to Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection, and it has said, this malware attempted to come into the environment. If you see it, it is bad. We call that a payload, by the way. This payload is in the environment. If you see it, you need to block it before it enters the Office 365 environment. Office 365 will then take that action. So even if the malware or the payload gets past a user because the user's running an older version of the software or the user isn't updated in some way, it will be stopped at Office 365. But it gets a little better because we actually have the ability to do an investigation. With our advanced threat analytics, we can actually look and see where the malware has gone, where the payload has gone. So even if it isn't in my inbox, because I've blocked it, we can see other users that it's potentially infected. And we also know, because we've detonated the malware, we've known what impact it may have on those other users. We don't necessarily know what it's trying to do exactly, but we know what impact it has on those users. And through our advanced threat analytics capability, we can detect that, and then we can build the appropriate response. I talked about how response is so important. What happens often in security organizations is people tend to, they have an event and they tend to buy a piece of software. They have another event and they buy another piece of software, right? That's not appropriate response. You need to build your responses to match whatever happened in your environment. And our advanced threat analytics investigative tool will allow you to understand what happened in your environment, so then you can apply the appropriate response. So, that's just a little bit about Windows 10, a little bit about Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection, how we're integrated with Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection, and how we're integrated with Advanced Threat Analytics for investigation. With that, I'm actually going to invite my colleague Milad up here to do some demos, but before I do that, I wanted to just give you the URL in case you wanted to have a trial of Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection. I want to thank all of you for coming out today. I want to thank the organizers for inviting me to present. It's always wonderful to be in Germany, and I'm going to turn the stage over to Milad.
All right, so what you're seeing here is my demo device, and what I will opening first is the Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection console. One interesting fact, out of the Verizon data breach report, we know that when an attacker sends an email to around 100 employees of an organization, 23 employees will open the email, and around 11 of them will open any email attachment which is associated to that. Six more are doing that within the first hour. So what you're going to see here, actually, is one of those very typical scenarios where Liz, a sales manager, just received an email from Brian, who's also working for Contoso, with a customer opportunity, which is a Word document, and it looks very legit. What Liz doesn't know is that, in reality, while she was opening that attachment, malicious payload has been injected on that computer, which allowed the hacker to open a communication channel so that he can transfer his malware onto that computer, so which you're seeing right now on the right-hand side on the attacker's machine. So he's copying some of his binaries, he's doing an IP config to check the IP address of the machine, he's going to do a hostname query to make sure he understands which computer he compromised, and he lastly going to make sure that it's flagged as autostart for his malicious payload to make sure it survives a reboot. So now, what I'm going to show you within the console is how IT professional, all the SOCs, the Security Operations Center, will be able to use Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection in combination with Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection and Advanced Threat Analytics to really forensically analyze that within a couple of minutes. And that's, by the way, the main goal of our ATP suite, because what Anne was talking about, right now it takes roughly 200 days to detect a cyber attack to an organization. And it takes, by the way, around 80 more days in order to investigate and stop that attack. So what we're here is the Windows Defender Security Center. On the left-hand side, you see the ATP alerts, the newest alerts. On the right side, you see machines at risk, and you get some general information around the status of the service. So what I'm seeing here is that I have one high alert. I'm going to click on that high alert. And it says, narrow blaze attack detected. What that means is, every time when you see on the left top side a red bar is, that we were able to correlate the behavior we have been seeing with a specific activity group. What does that mean? Simply by using machine learning and our TI, the intelligent graph, we are able to understand that this attack and this behavior is associated to a specific hacker group. So in this case, for narrow blaze. And when you click on that, you will get specific information around that activity group, with starting with like a quick introduction on when they start doing the first attacks. What are their motivations and their interests? Is it a political hacker organization? Is it an organization which really focuses on getting the money out of that company, essentially? What are their tools and techniques, as well as processes they're using? Right? For example, is it a hacker organization who typically use Mimikatz in order to perform pass-the-hash attacks, or maybe they're focused more on ransomware? You see the areas that are affected, and you can even download a report which gives you the intelligence report for the activity group that we create together with the Microsoft Digital Crime Unit to get really insights around that organization to see even source code samples from their attacks payload. You see sample emails if they're using phishing as a technique to get into the company, as well as compromised IP address or domains that are currently owned by that activity group. Now, if you go back here within the alert, let me close that information. You will get on the left-hand side some general information first about the alert, recommended actions on the right side, and really interesting, and what makes Windows Defender Advanced Protection unique is the so-called incident graph. The incident graph gives you not only the information on the endpoint that got compromised at first, but also how the cyber attack is spreading across your network. Because it's very important to really understand that, not only what are the devices that got compromised at the time of breach, so during the video, what I was showing, but also how it spreads. So you see, this computer was a starting point. There were three binaries copied, install.exe, sysdebugger.exe, and sl.exe, and a PowerShell command has been launched. If we go to one of them, for example, to sysdebugger.exe, you get detailed information around that data. You can see the digital signature if it was signed. Since this is a targeted attack, this one wasn't signed, so you see here that the signer is unsigned, the issuer is unknown. You can see the prevalence worldwide. So we are able to tell you that this file, this unique file, has been used worldwide for cyber attacks 5 times. First seen 3 months ago, last seen 14 hours ago. And now the interesting thing is, if you go into the organizational view, you can see on the bottom left side that within my organization, this has been used 5 times. What that means for me as a security, a member of the Security Operations Center team for an organization is that this is very likely a very targeted attack for my organization where code has been written to really focus on my organization. You can click on the deep analysis summary. It will give you detailed information what this payload is really doing. For example, if it copies files, if it connects to different IP addresses, and all that will be available through there. Okay, so we know there was an attack. We know a file called sysdebugger.exe was a starting point, and it was on Liz Bean's computer. Let me click on Liz's computer and go into the machine view. Within the machine view, I get the alerts based on a timeline. So I can see here, remember I was showing you in the video that it was a Word document opened up by Liz through Outlook. So I can see here that Office dropped an executed PE file, and if I click on it, I now immediately get highlighted the related alerts for it. And one of the things I've been seeing here new, which was what Anne was showing as part of the roadmap, is this unique integration with Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection. And I'm able to see it here at 2:33 p.m., Outlook saved an attachment to disk, and I'm able to click here for more details in Office 365. If I open that up, it will go into Office 365 ATP, and I'm now within the Threat Explorer, and I'm able to see that this attachment, the new customer opportunity attachment, has been sent to 3 recipients within my organization. It's Yolanda, it's Liz, and it's Roger. Liz was the only one where it was able to deliver it. And because we were able to correlate this activity to an activity group, to a targeted attack, we immediately feed back that information to our intelligent graph, which allowed us to send that signal to Office 365 ATP so that when Yolanda and Roger was receiving that email, it already got blocked by Office 365 ATP. So what I've been doing now is I'm going to investigate and see what happened on Roger's computer. And with that, I'm just going back to Windows Defender ATP. I will go to the same time period and scroll down within the alerts. And one of the things which are interesting for me as while I'm doing a forensic analysis on this cyber attack is that I'm now able to see that essentially Liz's user account is authenticated to Roger's computer, which doesn't make a lot of sense because Liz is not in IT, so he's not like one of the help desk people, right? She is a sales manager, Roger's a sales manager. So now I'm able to click on Liz. And by doing that, it opens up Advanced Threat Analytics and giving me details on the lateral movement happening right now with that credential. And what is interesting here is it gives me 2 warnings because I'm able to see that Liz Bean's credentials with a sales account manager has been used on someone else's computer, on Summer's computer, to do a remote execution on the domain controller. Well, that's very unlikely for a sales manager, right? Even if she watched a lot of YouTube videos on how to hack, it's still very unlikely that a sales manager will ever try to do a remote execution on the domain controller. So what does that tell us? It tells us that we used Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection to get deep insights on the endpoint. We were able to see the activities that related into this cyber attack, right? The starting point. Then we were able to see within Office 365 Advanced Threat Protection how the signal we received by getting that email to Liz helped us secure Yolanda and Roger's computers because that email got blocked. And then by doing some more analysis, we were able to use Advanced Threat Analytics to see that out of suddenly Liz is trying to do a remote execution session with the domain controller of the company. And really, that's the power of our ATP services and how they can come together. As far as Windows Defender ATP, the onboarding experience couldn't be simpler. You register for a trial, it's integrated to Windows 10 Enterprise, so there's no additional client, no additional footprint whatsoever. It's in the core of Windows. And essentially what you're doing is you can onboard clients with System Center Configuration Manager, with Microsoft Intune, through group policies, or through a local package that you can easily download from your tenant under Endpoint Management. So this is really the starting point, I'd say, right? And I highly recommend everyone to evaluate this option. It's integrated to Windows. There's really no reason to not at least do a proof of concept within your organization. And with that, thank you very much. And I hope you have a great conference.